We read from the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, knelt down before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied to him, "Teacher, all of these things I've observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At that statement, his face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, so Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said to themselves, then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For men, it's impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The commentary I read on this Gospel saw this greeting as a sort of insult, a sarcastic emphasis here on the good, but one which quickly changes into a very serious conversation. As a priest, I try to be alert to such opportunities. Recently, with my Roman collar on, I was walking in the entrance to a large hospital in Eugene, and an older man spoke up across the room. "Do you think you're going to be saved and go to heaven?" I try to rise to the occasion of these remarks and do more than reply with a smart-mouth one-liner. As I engage this man, it appears the question of everlasting life had just come up in his thinking. He was very bright and explained he depended on intelligent, rational behavior. Perhaps some experience with his own health or the reason he was at the hospital prompted his remark. We exchanged a few words, rather pleasantly, and then he walked on. He would always like such an exchange to lead to a deeper meeting of minds and perhaps something more than a one-liner response. And so Jesus' encounter with the rich young man, this is really one of my favorite passages in Scripture. The surprise meeting of someone who is good and lovable is one of the most enjoyable parts of my experience. No question of blaming here, just the recognition of the sheer beauty and goodness of the other person. Jesus, in his encounter, lovingly moves to the heart of the matter. In order to experience true goodness and fulfillment, one must make a gift of their lives. Sometimes we can seek this out in some sort of extraordinary vocation or heroic response to a social or religious need. But most often, I think this shaping of the gift of self arises out of the ordinary experiences of our lives. Yet often we do not recognize what this gift entails, and like the rich young man in the Scripture story, we're distracted by our possessions or some other sort of illusion or fear, and what our role ought to be in life. As a pastor, I sometimes am able to see the enormity and beauty of the gift that ordinary people make with their lives. Sometimes it is a response that is made to such a loved one. At other times, it's deep hunger of a person that spills out into a marvelous living response to another person's deepest needs. Yet somehow, we have to make a gift of our lives. This is in rich contrast to the ways in which we often measure our lives by our compliance with rules. If I summon up the tally sheet on my behavior, it's clear, and it's clear of broken laws and rules, I go on under the impression and illusion that all is well with my life. But today's gospel challenges us that life has to be more about just the avoidance of trouble. I need to enter into the gift challenge that energizes and evolves from giving my life away. I love the sense of life that arises out of meeting people and discovering the remarkable goodness that they are creating in their lives. This can happen in the most unexpected circumstances. Recently, I was returning from Chicago and a very beautiful experience of my Aunt Mary's funeral. She had had a very full life, now 7 children, and now all the children gathered from various parts of the United States for the funeral. The grandchildren are just about the age when they're creating their own careers and families. It was wonderful to see them all that energy and vitality together. And as for me, it had been such a privilege to be part of the celebration of Aunt Mary's life. It was very cold in Chicago, but the flight to L.A. got out on time. I'd had a long layover in L.A. and before my night flight to Eugene. It had been a very good, but also very long and tiring day. I was just settling in for the final flight, struck a conversation with the person next to me as we got set for the flight. To my surprise, the gentleman next to me turned out to be a most positive person, and in our small talk, I discovered that he was from Iran. With all the negative talk abroad in our nation about excluding people, this is just the sort of experience I really needed. What a surprise that it should come at such an unexpected moment. I just love these moments when the sheer goodness of people shines out in such beautiful ways. The gospel is a great reminder to me of the deep goodness of so many people. Surely the presence of God is within them. As we would pray over and explore the possibilities of making our lives some sort of gift, it's these surprising moments, chance encounters, discoveries that call to us to really discover what might be possible in life. I need the courage and freedom to measure my life not by the observance of laws, but as it can become as a gift caught up in the creative freedom which Jesus displays in today's gospel. I need to hear again the words of Jesus. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." I can think of nothing more exciting or dangerous than this invitation. And in these days of selfish and exclusionary rhetoric, me first kind of nonsense that we hear in the news, I need more than ever to be blessed and empowered by Jesus' admonition to get rid of the small stuff and to follow him. God bless you with this sort of freedom as you too make a gift of your life.